Thank you guys. Wow, you guys look great. Except you look 3 months older. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks so much for being supportive and my time off, and I really appreciate it. I thank the church for supporting that. And I'm glad to be back and to be with you. Let me start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Father, thanks for this opportunity, especially for me just personally. I'm just thankful to be back with the church family here, and Lord, I just pray that you guide this time and that you really speak to us and guide us in Jesus' name. All right, so I want to especially say hello to some of you that started attending in the last 3 months. Kind of weird, here I am, and I'm your pastor, and and you've never seen me before. It makes me think of my dentist, who I've been going to for 11 years, and I still don't know what he looks like because he's always wearing a mask when I go in, but. But I'm not wearing a mask, and I'm here with you. I'm really grateful to be back with the church family. And especially if you're new, I just want to say hello and welcome you especially. I want to say thank you to the whole church, but I want to thank a couple of people and groups of people in particular. I thank my wife, Evangeline. She really anchored things here, and I was here on Christmas Sunday. She did a fantastic, amazing job on Christmas Sunday. I would not have been able to do better, and so I'm grateful for how God is using her and equipping her and training her in the ministry. I want to thank Stephanie Sang, who's in Iraq. You should know that in the last 3 months, we revamped the whole operations, the day-to-day operations of our church. That's something that was on my plate, through the last several years. And so Stephanie, with her, she runs a business, and she used her corporate experience to kind of revamp our whole system and to instill it in place and day-to-day operations that actually is totally off my plate now. That I could focus on specific areas of the ministry. And so I'm thankful to Stephanie and the whole operations team, which is Job, who did a fantastic job. Melissa, who we hired on recently. Brandon as well. And I just want to tell them, you guys are doing a great job. Where's Melissa? Melissa's really doing a great job. Brandon as well. So I want to thank my parents as well. They just moved to Los Angeles. And something that sustains me and Evangeline to be a ministry couple is we got praying parents on both sides of our family. And that's really, really amazing and really a blessing. And my parents have been helping out day-to-day things around the house, cooking us meals and taking care of the kids, etc. So they've been a huge blessing. I have a little fun picture that I wanted to show you this morning. This is a picture of my dad and his grandsons, my kids. Really, I think an image of how we should just enjoy life, and enjoy relationship. I'm actually going to be preaching in the Chinese service next week. I'm going to be using this as an illustration. Just wanted to just kind of show it to you. It's really interesting how parents relate to kids and then how parents relate to their grandkids. Because I remember my dad had a recliner just like this when I was growing up, and I could never sit on the armrest, because I'd be like, you're going to break the armrest. But perfect spot for silence. So anyway, my parents have been a huge blessing, and I'm grateful for it. Now, and forgive me if I'm not thanking. I mean, I just don't want this to turn into the Academy Awards, So I'm just thankful to the church, and I'm thankful for you guys, and I'm thankful for being here. So this morning, I'm going to share with you a message that's entitled Worshipful Impact, kind of in line with our vision about Impact 2018, having an impact as we live out our kingdom lives. But I also want to share with you a little bit about my journey the last 3 months, really the last 3 to 6 months. Journey that I've been on, how this connects into worshipful impact, and how this fits into our vision of this year for our church about living a life of impact in our community. So I'm going to just start off my story with 6 months ago. 6 months ago, we were in staff meeting, and one of our staff members had an image specifically for me. And this image was of this huge tree, just branching out, just full of leaves. And this staff member said, I just feel like this image is for you and for also for our church. And it really felt like that image fit. We as a staff that day, remember we celebrated that image because it's like, as God's calling to us, and we've had these opportunities of missions lately and became the area church, overseeing the churches in East LA, in the Vineyard, and all these great things that God's doing with the building project, as you know, and the church expansion that we recently did two times over. And so it kind of fit, you know, that there's this, you know, we're this huge tree and we're spreading out and doing God's work. And so this image was something that we celebrated. And then God impressed upon me really strongly, I felt, to focus in on the book of Daniel. I began to read the book of Daniel, and I want to share with you a bit. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 4. If you could turn there, we'll be in a couple of different passages in Daniel chapter 4. So this image of this huge tree celebrated, you know, of God, what God's doing in our lives. And then Daniel chapter 4, we're going to start out in verse 4. Okay, so Daniel 4, verse 4. Can we read that out loud together? I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. So Nebuchadnezzar was in his palace. He was prosperous. He was content. And I want to say, just in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. That's biblical. Right? Jeremiah 29:11 says he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. The Bible tells us and calls us to be a people who are content. And so there was nothing wrong at face value of what was happening with Nebuchadnezzar. And it makes me think of our situation in our church. I think, God, you know, God's been doing a lot of new things, a lot of great things. I mentioned some before. But also just even in our personal lives, I mean, just even in our group right here, there's been a bunch of marriages lately. There's a bunch of people getting engaged. There's been a bunch of babies literally being born, you know, recently. Lots of great things in this room. There's been some job promotions, some new job opportunities, some new schooling opportunities, really great things. And there's nothing wrong with being prosperous or content. Again, those things are biblical. But what was God speaking to Nebuchadnezzar? What was God speaking in the book of Daniel? What's more importantly, what's God speaking to us in the midst of our prosperity, in the midst of our contentment? So let's continue reading this story, Daniel chapter 4. Let's read 10 through 14. So let's read that together. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. I read that, and I'd read it before. But when I had that image in the staff meeting, and then I read this passage, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the image that was given in the staff meeting. Then let's read the next two verses, 13 and 14, as this image is elaborated a little bit. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. Red flags right away. You know, like, this was a great image that we celebrated. We ought to celebrate. God wants us to be prosperous and content. But in this image for Nebuchadnezzar, it's like the leaves were going to be stripped off. It was going to get cut down. There was a word there for Nebuchadnezzar. I feel like there's a word there for us as well. And so really the question was, how did Nebuchadnezzar respond to this word from God to him in the midst of his prosperity and contentment? And again, more importantly, how will we respond to our prosperity and contentment in our church and in our lives and in our families when the things that are going well that are from God? That God wants us to be blessed. We're his kids. He wants to bless us. That's what he does. But how do we respond to it? Let's see how Nebuchadnezzar responded. So we're reading Daniel chapter 4, 28 through 30. Let's read it out loud together. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" So Nebuchadnezzar went out on his palace roof, and he looked out over his kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon. And he said, "This was all done by my mighty power. And this was all done for my glory." I think we all have exactly the same response when we read this. Like, was he that foolish? He just received that word, that vision? Was he that prideful that he would go up on top of his roof and just look out there and say it was by his mighty power and for his glory? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I think it'd be like us walking out on top of our roof, looking out over Walnut or Diamond Bar or Brea or wherever we live and be like, this was by my mighty power and for my glory. None of us would do that. That's crazy. That is just foolishness to begin to do that. But when I read this passage, it really cut to my heart. And I had a gut check. And I want to share with you a little bit about my journey. Because I think some of you will relate, not to the specifics of what happened to me, but I think to the progression of it. In the midst of our prosperity, in the midst of our contentment, whatever that might be. Now, I had a gut check when I read this passage and I started reflecting on just last several years. Thought about the last 4+ years of this building, the building project, this building that we're sitting in right now. I was thinking, I put in thousands of hours, literally thousands of hours into this building project. I thought about the last 18 years of ministry in this church, and I thought about the tens of thousands of hours that I put into building, helping to build this church. And I felt like God was asking me, are you looking out over the church building? And are you looking out over the church? And is there any part that is saying, but it's by my mighty power, my glory? There were a couple of reasons why I took a 3-month break. But one of the reasons why is I knew I needed to just step away and really check my heart. Really check my heart and think about the next 40, 50 years of ministry. And make sure that my heart was solid. Where my perspective was, where my motivation was. And I feel like today, on this first day back to the pulpit, I need to say, I want to say before God, but I also want to say before the church. Let it be clear that this is Jesus' church. This is Jesus' building. It is by Jesus' mighty power, and it is for Jesus' glory. And make sure that that's central in my heart, and make sure that's central in the heart of our church. Amidst any prosperity, any contentment that we have that is from God, but make sure that that is an anchor inside of our heart and inside of our church. And I was thinking that, if we went out to the Grand Canyon, and we looked out over the Grand Canyon, all the beautiful canyon and everything, of something that, you know, is just so vast and so amazing, we would say, wow, this is by God's mighty power, and this is for his glory. Because we had no part in it, just absolutely nothing to do with that. What about things that we put hours and hours of our time into? Up to thousands of hours, up to tens of thousands of hours in our jobs, in our families, in our relationships, in our schooling, in our hobbies, or whatever the case may be. Do we start moving into a place where we feel tempted? Or maybe we start moving into a place where we actually do look out over our kingdom, over the things that we have done, and we begin to say, this is by my mighty power and for my glory. Would there be a heart check for us as a church as we move into this year of where our heart is anchored in? And hopefully we respond to this because this is God's word. You know, this is part of this passage and what God is speaking. But also that we would begin to have this type of worshipful perspective or worshipful impact, the title of this sermon, because God begins to say also, the greatest impact that begins to happen is when we do give God the glory. When we begin to give God back the glory and say, it's by his mighty power, it is for his glory. That's when the true impact begins to happen. And this is what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. So can we read Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 to 36? Let's read it together. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor will return to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and made even greater than me. When Nebuchadnezzar began to give God the glory and say it was by his mighty power and for his glory, that's when the greatest impact began to happen. He became even greater than before. Worshipful impact. There's a quote that came from Pastor Brian Park. He preached on the first Sunday of this year in his church, along with our vision about impact. And he gave us this quote, and he's been in touch with me this whole time. He's really excited about what God is doing. And he sent me part of his, actually he sent me a lot of his message and talked me through a lot of what he shared. He said this: greater freedom comes when there is a greater release of his glory. You know, when we begin to give God the glory, God's presence comes. And the Holy Spirit's actually free to do the things that only he can do to bring the greatest impact. The Holy Spirit's begin to be free to remove sin, to remove anxiety, to remove sickness. When we become a people that begin to give him all of the glory, saying it is by his mighty power and for his glory. Let me share with you something that happened to me back in October. I took a trip up to Bethel. Many of you know Bethel. We sang like mostly Bethel songs this morning. And I went up there. And you know that many of you know Bethel up in Reading, they're marked by a culture of worship. That's why a lot of the worship songs are coming out of Bethel these days. And you go there and they're just glorifying Jesus. So I went to the first service on the Sunday morning, first service, just worshiping Jesus. I really felt his presence. And when we begin to worship, we give him glory. Holy Spirit's freed to do the things that only he can do. For about 6 months prior to that, I was struggling with this really painful thing that was in my finger. I'd seen medical doctors and whatnot, and it was in my middle finger, and it wasn't getting better over time, month after month after month. And I was in the service, and I knew the Holy Spirit's presence was there, and I was like, I'm just going to check my finger to see how it's doing. And in the first service, I felt like it was getting better. So I went to the second service, and it was getting even better and better and better. And I felt like it was like to the point it was like completely better. I started texting everyone back home like, oh my goodness, I'm up at Bethel, and like God's healing me. God's healing my finger. Because when we begin to give God the glory, this is what begins to happen, is that his Spirit is released in the freedom to do the things that only he can do, to bring healing, physical healing, but healing of things of anxiety and depression and things that we're struggling with, and to release miracles and to release breakthrough, or as we're talking about worshipful impact, as we worship, that's when the impact begins to happen. And I wonder if there's needs to be a gut check for some of us here this morning, and I just tell you that I'm right with you, and God is still processing this in me. But are there some things where that we look out over our careers or over our families or school situations or ministry situations even, and we're like, yes, I have done a great job. Not that there should be some affirmation to that, but again, this feeling of like, this is by my mighty power, this is for my glory, and we begin to take the credit for it. And listen, God's saying that there's an even greater impact that's behind, and that God wants to bring this type of impact through our worship and through us giving him the glory. As we respond this morning to God's word, we're going to sing a song that most of you are familiar with it. We fall down. We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. That we would say, I'm taking off my crown. Yes, maybe I have been taking the credit and taking the glory. I'm putting it at the feet of Jesus. I'm saying it is about Jesus. It is about him and his mighty power and for his glory only. And we begin to cry, holy, holy, holy. We actually sang that this morning in another song as well. Just that he is the one who is holy. He is the one who is perfect. He is the one that is full of integrity. He is the only one that is all powerful. He is the only one that deserves the glory. And we begin to experience the greatest impact as we begin to have this posture before God. Let's come before the Lord in prayer in response. Can I ask the worship team if you could come forward at this time? prayer team if you can come up and be ready to pray too.